with me to, please stand with me to Book of Genesis, chapter 21. Book of Genesis, chapter 21. And we shall read for a few verses there, and we shall look at Genesis chapter 22 as well. So Genesis chapter 21, if you could please open your Bibles, and as you have placed yourself on mute, please read along with me as we look at this ancient word on time of Abraham and Sarah's life. Genesis 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac, being 8 days old, as God commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Let's also turn to Genesis chapter 22, and we shall read a few verses there from verse 1 to 14. Genesis chapter 22. It came to pass after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto Abraham, and said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place far off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come back again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him. Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him up on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, he said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything good, anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and looked, behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mountain of the Lord, it shall be seen. Well, sisters, as we come back to portion of Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in the set time, in the old age. By the grace of God, we've been looking at over past few months, from the book of Genesis and after the life of Noah, we've been looking at briefly from life of Abraham's life. When you read this particular portion, as you know, Abraham is 100 years of age. And from Genesis chapter 11, we looked the account of Abraham and Sarah, and we know at the time when they left Iraq, which is Ur, back to Haran, where they stayed for some time, and God called Abraham from Haran. Abraham was 75 years of age, and Sarah was 65 years of age. One of the things as we read from the life of Abraham is the promises of God. This morning, the burden the Lord has given is to share on God's faithfulness to his promise. God's faithfulness to his promise. There are many promises as you read the chapters, as we read about Abraham's life. Even as you read chapter 12, you read in verse 1 and 2, I'll make thee a great name. I'll make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. As you continue, as you look at chapter 15, we see the Lord appear to Abraham in a vision. And Lord said, I'm thy shield, and I'm thy exceeding reward. And Abraham and Sarah had no child. They've been married for a few years now. Probably it's been about, even when we read when they're 75, they're probably about 25, 30 years. But they have no child. And they say, I have no child. Elijah, my servant, is the heir. And God promised there, a promised seed would come. Out of thy own bowels, a heir shall come. Was the promise you read in chapter 15. And there you see that picture where God shows the stars in the sky to Abraham. It was in a vision in the night and said, so shall thy seed be. Abraham believed and it was counted for righteousness. But then you come to chapter 16. 10 years have passed. Nothing happened. And Sarah and Abraham, especially Sarah, loses her patience. And we know the story. We have looked at it in chapter 16. The choices each one made. And the consequences they had at about 85 years of age, 10 years later, we know Sarah persuaded Abraham to have Hagar and they had Ishmael as son. And to this day, this decision they made had very dangerous consequences. And even we see the nation of Arab exist, which mocks Israel. As we read, Ishmael mocked Isaac later, even in the same chapter. Last few weeks ago, there was a specific promise Abraham received when 99 years of age, about a year early before we read this chapter. In chapter 17, you read, Abraham again visited the Lord. And this was a special visitation. And we read in chapter 17, God made a covenant with Abraham at the age of 99 years of age. And Abraham was asked to circumcise every child over 8 years of age. And the foreskin to be was circumcised for every male over 8 years of age. And if you come to verse 19 of chapter 17, if you turn to chapter 17, in this particular verse, you see a promise. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall hear thee, bear thee a son. Indeed, thou shalt call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. Verse 21, it says, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac and shall bear thee a son, set time in the next year. A very specific promise, a covenant made, a promised seed shall be born. It's not Ishmael, it's Isaac will be your promised child. And Sarah shall bear a child. They did not believe it. Sarah could not believe it. We saw in chapter 18, the visitation of two angels and the Lord himself who appeared to Abraham. And we see one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. In chapter 18, verse 14, is there anything hard for the Lord? Is there anything hard for the Lord? It's the same words Jesus said, with God, nothing is impossible with God. As we come back to chapter 21 this morning, Lord visited Sarah as he had said, as he had spoken to them, Lord performed what he had promised. There are many needs in life, isn't it? We go through many needs. When I look back, coming from India, we waited for to join a finish our college degree, get enrolled in our universities. We pray and wait for that, and then we wait for, if some of us came to overseas, we wait for getting a visa here, to land, and we pray and wait for, put to the Lord many needs. We pray for a job, even in marriage, to get a job, to settle, everything. God has been gracious in the provider. He's been our provider. And one of the things we see, parents may go through at times when we see Abraham and Sarah, and they were waiting for a child. As we see the introduction of Sarah in verse 11, verse 30, she was barren, she had no child. It's been about 60 years since Abraham probably, and she's been praying for this. And they probably had forgotten all the promises God had given. And then we see the surprise coming, as the Lord had promised, set time, the next year it shall happen, and the Lord performed the promise. We see the same test even in the life of the next generation for Isaac and Rebekah as well. We see the same trial also in life of Rachel and Jacob. We know the prayer of Hannah. She prayed, she made a pledge and cried, and the Lord fulfilled the promise and gave Samuel. There are many parents we know, I've known, that who prayed for 10 years and the Lord blessed a child. And it is indeed a gift of God. And as we look at God's promises this morning, in this particular portion, Lord was reminding me five important thoughts. Firstly, the word of God. When God makes a promise, when he speaks, it is performed. As we read in Psalm 119, one of the a long chapter in the Bible, Psalm, if you'd please turn to Psalm 119, Psalm 119, and we read in verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. When the Lord speaks, when the Lord gives a promise, it is settled. It is done. When God said, "Let there be light," there was light. When God said to Abraham and Sarah, "You shall have a promised seed, a new covenant, an everlasting covenant with your seed," it shall be done. It shall be settled. It did take a long time, but it will happen. Firstly, God's promises, God's word is settled. What God speaks will happen for sure. Secondly, God's promises are secured. It is secured. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, "For all the promises of God in him is yes, in him, amen." All the promises. Not even one you could say, maybe, no. All the promises in him are yes, and in him, amen, for the glory of God. One thing God cannot do is God cannot lie. With God, nothing is impossible. There's only one thing which is not possible, is he cannot lie. We see in Genesis chapter 21, verse 2, "For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham in the old age at the set time," at this set time. Indeed, it was the time. 2065 BC, Isaac was born. It was a set time. 25 years have passed since Abraham and Sarah have been waiting for the promise. It was a set time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says like this. Book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And as we read in verse 1, "For everything there is a purpose. For everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck of what God has planted. It was a set time to be born for Isaac. It was a set time where a promised seed would come through Isaac, a savior would come 2,000 years later. It was the appointed time our Lord Jesus came. Everything has a set time. You may be waiting for a promise. You may be waiting and asking God. There's a set time, and God knows when to give. And a time is, in his time, he makes all things beautiful. So thirdly, God has a set time. Fourthly, the promises of God is everlasting. We saw this morning, the love of God is everlasting. The promises, the word of God will never end. And we read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. The promises of God, God has given us, even this morning, the promises, if you confess that Jesus is God, God abideth in you, the promises are everlasting. It shall happen. As we look back in life of Abraham and Sarah, we know they made wrong choices. They thought they were helping God by taking Hagar and having Ishmael. But yet, God was faithful to his promise. We may be unfaithful. God remains faithful. God will never fail to his promise. God's promise settled, secured, a set time, and everlasting, and he shall never fail, fifthly. How could we describe, brothers and sisters, the faithfulness of God? You know, Sam has said like this in Psalm 36 and verse 5. Please turn to Psalm 36 and verse 5. We read, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are great deep. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. We can all acknowledge it's been 8 months the month of August. And as we began this year, the Lord reminded us that God is our Ebenezer when we first gathered. And he has truly been our Ebenezer. He's been a faithful God. We can thank God for the faithfulness in each individual life. And when our sister Toby was praising God and acknowledging, as she had a special day yesterday, God has been faithful all our life. One of the things the Lord was reminding me when I was meditating is faithfulness of God for the little flock, not Parramatta Christian Assembly. It was around this time, in the 7th of August, about 9 years ago, brothers and sisters here, three brothers and sisters being with us, that Lord bought us, and we can acknowledge the faithfulness of God. It was the same time in August, around this time, about 4 years ago, the Lord brought us together to gather at Oatlands, and God was reminding me of his faithfulness. He has been utterly faithful, and I still remember the very first time the Lord gave the promise, the very first day, I will build my church, and nothing shall prevail. And he's continued, and he remains faithful. We read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. Faithful by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The one who has called us is faithful. Faithful by whom we were called. He remains faithful. He continues to be faithful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24 says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He is a finisher. What he begins, he will finish. He will continue, and one day he will take the church to home. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3 says, Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. He is faithful. One of the great characters of God is a faithful God. God will never forget his promise. Abraham and Sarah may have forgotten what God had promised. They thought 100 years old, 90 years of age, at the old age, Isaac was born. Isaac was promised 1 year before. Even the name was promised even before he was born. His name shall be Isaac. And at the set time, after it was a long wait of 25 years, the Lord visited and performed. You may be going through a troubled heart with many things, waiting for something. It could be a job, it could be your residency, it could be something else. As one of the encouraging chapter in Psalm 37, I encourage you to read later, where the psalmist writes the chapter in the old age, and he encourages to wait on the Lord. And Psalm 37:5 says, commit thy ways to the Lord, trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. He brought it to pass in Abraham and Sarah's life, to be patient, to be waiting, to be trusting, and not to give up, and wait upon his will. In his time, he makes all things beautiful. There was a thought I was reading through that for a troubled heart, trusting in God's promises gives peace and comfort. For a troubled heart, in God's promises, it gives peace and comfort. As the promise of God was performed in life of Abraham and Sarah, there are many promises as a child of God, and he shall accomplish it. And he has given us this everlasting covenant. We are also part of this Abrahamic everlasting covenant, a promised seed which is given for us. Now, brothers and sisters, let's just quickly move to this chapter 22, one of the great chapters in the Bible, and one of my favorite chapters. And this chapter gives you a beautiful picture of the gospel of the Father and the Son, of the coming shadow of a Father love for the whole world and the Son offered for us. As we begin to read chapter 22 of Genesis, we believe Isaac is a teenager boy, about 115 years of age or so. That means Sarah would have been 100 years there and 105 years there, and Abraham about 115 years of old age. And we know, as we take Abraham and Sarah loved, as we even read verse 2, thy son whom thou lovest, they loved Isaac very much. In chapter 21, verse 6, when Isaac was weaned, they had a great feast, a great celebration. And Abraham and Sarah were spending time with this child, this promised seed, which God had promised that the Savior would come one day through Isaac and later Jacob, as we know. But here comes a sudden test in life of Abraham. As we read verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said, Abraham and Abraham, now this is what God asked. Take thy son. We see this word, thy son, thy only son whom thou lovest, offer him as a burnt offering on that mountain. Just take a moment and pause and think to offer what Abraham loved, what God had promised, as a burnt offering, as a sacrifice. We do know Abraham's life was a life of worship. He had built many altars. He had offered many a substitute lamb or an animal, but never he would imagine offering his own son. It was a very difficult challenge. It was a very difficult test. Here we see Abraham's life in the height of his faith. Indeed, he is a father of faith. He is a patriarch. Indeed, he became a friend of God. Here we see at 115 years of age, when God asked him to offer his son, whom he loved very much, we look at the chapter, the obedience of this great man. He rose up the very next verse, you see verse 3. Abraham rose up early in the morning. We do know that he was a very rich man. He had many servants. We know how much gold he sent when we saw the story of Isaac, when he looked for a bride. He had many servants, but what did Abraham do? It was he who prepared the sacrifice. He cut the wood that morning. He prepared himself. He probably did not share with Sarah. He ensured this would be performed. He rose up early in the morning. He prepares the ass. Takes two young men, as you read verse 3. As you begin to read this chapter, it's very clear Father knows what will happen after 2,000 years later. God the Father will send his Son to this world. We do know as Jesus entered Jerusalem on the last time, he entered with an ass. And people sang Hosanna and put the palm leaves. We see Abraham, Isaac, saddled his ass, took young man. As they journeyed, we see they were living at Beersheba. It was a chosen place, Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is the same place around Jerusalem where Solomon built the temple. It's the same place around where Jesus offered himself on the cross. The time of journey in verse 4, 3 days journey. The third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked at the mountain. The time of separation of Father and Son, of our Lord Jesus. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Complete separation. No, one of the crying words of the Lord on the cross, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? One of the greatest trials on our Lord was the whole sin upon our Lord, the separation from the Father and the Son. For Abraham, as he walks with Isaac is dead. There is no conversation until they come to Mount Moriah. For Abraham, his son is dead. He's going to offer him in very few moments in the next day. We don't see Abraham withholding what God offered. He did not take time. And he was obedient to what God asked. 3 days journey, 3 days of separation. Who takes the wood? As they come, we see one of the beautiful word the Lord Abraham uses for the sacrifice in verse 6. Verse 5, he says to the young man to stay and here with the ass, and I will go yonder and worship and come back. The word Abraham used for the sacrifice is worship. We shall worship and come back. There we see the wood is placed upon Isaac. Verse 6, Abraham took the fire and the knife and walked, and the wood is laid upon Isaac. This reminds us, brothers and sisters, of the heavy cross the Son bore for us. Jesus bore that heavy cross. He was beaten, he was mocked, the thorn on his head, but yet he chose, as we read even this morning, he chose to do the will of the Father. His love was unconditional. He loved us very much. In love, he bare that cross, the wooden cross. As they settled, as they came up to the mountain, we know Abraham prepared the altar and he bound his son. And we read, as they were the only conversation when we read about Isaac asking his father, Father, where is the offering? And this is one of the beautiful faith of Abraham in verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both together. One of the things we can note, Abraham knew, even if he offered Isaac, God can raise him one day because Isaac is a promised seed. God has promised, and what God has promised will happen. Abraham, with tremendous faith, as we read verse 8, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. This is the state of faith Abraham had, a consistent faith. Praise be to God for a great man, Abraham, who comes and builds the altar and is ready to offer his son Isaac. And we know the story in verse 13 and verse 14. God stops Abraham, and Abraham sees a ram, and the ram was offered in the place of Isaac. A ram became a substitute in the place of Isaac. Jesus became my substitute and your substitute 2,000 years ago. God did not stop the sacrifice 2,000 years ago. God, when you and Jesus pray, is there any other way, O Lord? God, Jesus had to give. Bible says, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There's only one way. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And Jesus was offered as a substitute for you and for me. And he bore the cross. A wonderful passage, as we remember. 2,000 years ago, God was revealing that he will send his son. And he'll be offering his only son, with the judgment of the whole world will be paid through his son. One thing, brothers and sisters, we can take this morning, as we even look at life of Abraham. Abraham was able to offer what he loved. He loved Isaac very much. But Abraham was able to offer in the best way that day at 115 years or over to the Lord. Are we able to offer what we love? Is there anything which is taking the place of God in your life, in my life? Abraham declared, God is his first love. The God, the creator, God of Israel, God Jehovah, is his first love. Is God my first love? Is Lord Jesus my first love? Is anything else taking the place of God? That is something I and you need to examine our hearts. May he be our first love. May he be, because he has loved us. He is the one who loved us first. Secondly, the most important thing is God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness in life of Abraham and Sarah. And as we look at this promises of God, everything was performed as he had promised. It took time, but God performed his promise. Brothers and sisters, we have been given this word of God. The word of God is an inspiration of God. There are many promises which God has revealed individually. But as a child of God, as a collective, there are many promises pertaining to salvation. Even this morning, brother brought to our hearts that love of God, that if any man confess, and if any brother or sister confess that Jesus is Lord, God abides in them. Why do we doubt on this great salvation at times? Why do we even think? We read this wonderful promise God has given to each one of us in John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? Brothers and sisters, what a wonderful promise for each one. We do not know what we have tomorrow in terms of life and death. But God's promises for every child, that whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Death is just like a twinkling of an eye. We shall be transformed. A promise which shall happen in him. All the promises in him is a yes and amen. Why do you even doubt that the Lord is coming back as John, as one of the promises given to the church in John's Gospel, chapter 14? Let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. and I will go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also. Where I am, there you may be also. A promise to each one of us, which we will be all looking forward to after coming of our Lord. This is the promise God has given, that he's coming back for us to take us home. He's preparing a place for you and for me to dwell with him, who is himself, the Lord himself, who will be the light, whom we shall be with him for everlasting, and part of this everlasting covenant. A promise God has made to church, that I will build my church. The gates of Hades shall never prevail, in Matthew 16:8. Brothers and sisters, let us not doubt. Let us hold on to these promises, as Abraham and Sarah hold on to the promises. As the Lord reminded us, to wait on the Lord, to trust in him, to hope in him, and what God has promised, he will bring it to pass. Psalm 37 and verse 5, commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. Brothers and sisters, as the Lord reminded us this morning, may we take to heart some of God's promises. May we build our life upon this God's word. It gives comfort. It gives peace to our hearts. If by any chance this morning, if you're here, and if you haven't receive Jesus Christ in your heart, this is the promise of God from the word of God. If you confess in your heart and believe Jesus as Lord, you shall be saved. And as we read the promises of God, he gives the power of resurrection. He gives the power of eternal life. All we could do is receive the gift by believing, by turning back to old ways, to by repenting and by believing. A simple way, because he's the truth, the way, and the life. So I pray this day be the day of salvation. By any chance, if you do not know him personally, I pray that you may pray also this prayer, which I prayed 15 years ago, that I want to give my heart to you, Lord. Brothers and sisters, let's close in prayer. And maybe as we close in prayer, examine our hearts. Is God my first love? And is God, is there anything else in the place of God? As Abraham's life demonstrates, the faith, obedience, trust, and loving God with all heart and all soul, let's also pray that this be our heart. And loving gracious Father, we come before thee and we thank you for your precious word, the ancient word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for reminding me that your word, which you've given, the promises are settled, are secured, has a set time, and it's an everlasting word, and you shall never fail. Father, I pray if there's anyone here who do not know you personally, Lord, we pray that you may touch their hearts and they may know you and may receive and build their life on the promises, that knowing that Jesus is Lord and Jesus died and rose again, Jesus suffered for our sins, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. We thank you, Lord, for being our wonderful Savior. We thank you, Lord, for taking our place on the cross. We pray, Father, that we may be worthy of your calling, and we may run this race and keep this faith. As Paul said, I finished my race, I kept my faith one day, and receive, Lord, the promises one day, as Abraham and Sarah received, we shall also receive the gift of salvation, which is secured for us. We ask this blessing in Jesus' precious name. Amen.